times must we take this disgrace? Another Bears fan throwing.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. It is the Monday after the first Packers game of the season, and I think everyone right now is licking their wounds after a 23-7 loss against the Vikings yesterday. But we are still at this show very excited to introduce our new segment, Packers Pundits Playback, where we invite popular Packer pundits to come on to the show and give us their analysis of yesterday's game. And I could not think of a better person to kick off this new segment with than the co-founder and host of one of the most popular and unlikely funniest, like, Packer everything out there, co-founder of Cheesehead TV, Aaron Nagler. Thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Sorry the Packers had to lay an egg and give us not a lot of fun stuff to talk about. But I do love that you're leading with "The Bears Still Suck" as the intro song. I mean, we're already on to week two. Yeah, we're already on the home opener. You know, if the Packers want to treat week one like the fourth preseason game, well, darn it, I'm going to do the same as well. So it's good. It's good to be with you right before the start of the kickoff of Packers season.
Exactly.
Good to be back.
I'm so happy that you're here. I'm so excited to hear your thoughts, because I told Jane at the beginning of the show today, I there was a gut instinct I went into yesterday after the last two seasons that I was like, there's a chance that we don't win this. And so why are we not good at the season opener?
At the football thing, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of different reasons, and they all kind of compounded on each other yesterday. I mean, the Packers were their own worst enemy. You look at the score, you see 23-7, and you think, wow, Packers weren't even competitive. And it certainly seemed that way during spurts of the game. But, you know, you take away a couple of things from that game. First, you know, they are definitely trying to overcome self-inflicted wounds throughout the entirety of that matchup, whether it's Christian Watson, the rookie, dropping the very first pass of the season from Aaron Rodgers on a beautifully thrown ball, or not getting in on fourth and goal on a play where Aaron admitted after the game he probably should just keep it, and he walks into the end zone if he does. And that's a classic RPO, a run-pass option, where if the end crashes down on the running back, the quarterback should keep it. And that's football 101, and Aaron knows that. But those are the things that, you know, kind of suggest that this is a team that maybe wasn't, I'm not going to say wasn't ready, because I think that's folly when you're talking about NFL coaches and teams, and they certainly spend more hours and time on game planning and tape breakdown and, you know, fundamental work and all these things that, I mean, they're professionals and that's what they do. They get ready, but they certainly seemed a bit out of sync. And that was on both sides of the ball. You saw, you know, Justin Jefferson running wide open in a defensive backfield, which all summer looked excellent in training camp, whether it was against themselves, against the Packers offense, or when the Saints came to town, their joint practices, they looked phenomenal. So to me, it was the little things, again, the little things building up and kind of snowballing into the problems that you saw. You can talk about the defense, you can talk about the offense, but it's really a team-wide thing. Much like last year, although I think they were at least a little bit more competitive this time around. I know a lot of people after yesterday are looking back at that week one kind of meltdown against the Saints to open the 2021 season. I don't think this was that bad. It's a tough place to play, too. I mean, other than Matt's first time there in 2019, they haven't won there with a crowd since then. I mean, it's a tough, tough building to play in, and the Vikings are very talented, and certainly they were no joke yesterday.
And, you know, for those of us who don't live and breathe Packers the way you do, and we see passing headlines and pick up on easy things to assume are part of the issue. So I think one of the easy, low-hanging fruit assumptions is, for the second, if not third year in a row, Aaron Rodgers not playing in any of the preseason games, especially in a year where we have new rookie wide receivers. Our only veteran wide receiver wasn't playing. And so, like, do you think he should have had a little bit more game time ahead of the season opener, or do you think that doesn't make a difference?
I think it makes a little bit of a difference as far as the getting in sync thing goes. And I do think this was the one summer, if you were going to make a case for him being out there in the preseason, that's probably it, right? Because of the, you know, the very disparate nature of the pass catchers, whether it is older veterans like Sammy Watkins, who's never caught a pass from Aaron Rodgers until yesterday, or it is the new rookie wide receivers having to kind of learn this system and learn what Aaron Rodgers likes. And we all know how demanding he can be. Yeah, I think you can make the case that this was probably the summer you would have thought you'd see him in the preseason. But both Matt and Aaron seem to, you know, want to err on the side of caution when it comes to not putting any of those starters in harm's way, including Aaron. And I can't say that, you know, that's a wrong decision. I agree with it for the most part, as far as it being a 17-game season. It is a marathon. Mm-hmm. It is a very, very long slog to get through the regular season. The NFL, every year we see injuries and attrition and how it can take a toll and how completely things can change. Look at the Cowboys last night. Dak Prescott's now out probably 6 to 8 weeks with a thumb injury. Their whole season changes in the blink of an eye. And any one of those snaps in the preseason could do the same thing. So I understand not wanting to put guys in harm's way, but the downside is some of the miscommunication that we saw yesterday, some of the kind of out of sync, you know, the nature of the offense in that regard, especially when you're breaking in a bunch of new players. Yeah, there's going to be mistakes and there's going to be problems. You saw the shot of Rodgers on the sideline talking to Tom Clemens, the quarterback coach, when he's yelling about this and the other thing, and he's very upset. And it's, well, yeah, I think this is to be expected. And the curious thing to me was that, so you know all this. Like, there's none of this is a surprise. You would assume that this is probably going to be the case, especially when you're playing with an offensive line down your two best players in Elgton Jenkins and David Bakhtiari. Why you don't come into that environment and just try to run the football is beyond me. I understand you've got Aaron Rodgers. I understand he's a four-time MVP. But, man, your two best players on offense outside of Rodgers are Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. Give them the football.
Yeah.
That was the one kind of mystifying part to me.
We're talking to co-founder of Cheesehead TV, Aaron Nagler, for our Packers pundit playback. So I watched your good, bad, and ugly quick recap, and it did see, speaking of A.J. Dillon, that was your good. Was that A.J. Dillon showed up to play?
Somebody showed up. It was nice.
And so what else do you feel like are the positive takeaways from what you saw yesterday that we can still feel like, just like last year where we got very much handled the game one and then still continued to have a very good season?
You still saw flashes of the talent that's on display on both sides of the ball, whether it was Kenny Clark in the pressure he got on Kirk Cousins a couple of times. I know they only sacked Cousins once, but they certainly got close and put pressure on him and affected the quarterback, which is what you want to see. You certainly saw Jair Alexander when he was actually asked to cover Justin Jefferson. He did that. So I think you could see, you know, flashes on that side of the ball. On the offensive side, yeah, yes, A.J. Dillon was seemingly the one guy who really showed up with some heart. I mean, he did everything asked of him. He caught more passes than anybody else and was targeted more as well. Aaron Jones showed he can be a difference maker if he's given the football, something that, again, is kind of a mystery. So there are what my co-founder Corey Banky likes to say. There were definitely green shoots yesterday. You could definitely see kind of the budding green coming up through the mud, so to speak. But it's hard solace. You know, now you have to spend the whole week listening to Vikings fans rub it in your face and Bears fans coming off a win. And now they're all excited and pumped up to come into Lambeau. So hopefully we shut them up on Sunday night.
There is something. I love that. I think you guys tweeted out something, some meme as far as all the Vikings fans in our comments just muted.
Oh,
so
we can't hear any of them talking smack. Carry on your life, man. Life's too short to put up with Vikings fans talking trash when they still have yet to ever, ever, ever win a championship. So
that was my favorite tweet from last week. We called that was Queen Elizabeth has seen a lot in her life, but she never saw a Vikings Super Bowl
win. Vikings Super Bowl. shout out to her, Madge. May she rest in peace.
Absolutely. And so, so what do you think going into, obviously we'll be at home next week with the Bears coming to see us. But watching them yesterday win their game in that downpour and watching them swimming. Watching them go swimming. I will say, as much as I dislike the Bears, there was a video of them all just sliding around, enjoying themselves like little children. I was like, this is kind of fun to watch them get so excited.
Well, it's great, especially the joy of the moment, because of the fact that I think most people had discounted them and said they had no shot against the 49ers. And then the game kind of transpired like it did. They certainly got caught up in the moment. It is kind of funny to me, though, because all of the narrative around the Bears this offseason is about their potential move or their eventual move to Arlington Heights. Well, okay, but if that game is played in Arlington Heights in a dome, because it undoubtedly would be if it was raining, they probably lose that game.
Yeah.
Like, one of the big advantages they had against the 49ers yesterday was the fact that they were playing in the dreck and the mud and the grossness that is Soldier Field. It helped them. So, yeah, I hope Bears fans appreciate Soldier Field while they still got it.
I feel like you don't think they appreciate Soldier Field? I feel like that's such a unique thing to have a stadium right in the middle of the third biggest city in the country. And it's such a cool thing.
I've been talking about this forever. I think they're definitely kind of split from what I can tell. I think Bears fans, like old school fans, really love it. But I think most modern fans understand that as a modern NFL franchise, you've got to do what they're doing. Get out to the burbs and build your own. What they want to do is kind of replicate what the Packers have done with Titletown. You know, have an area, kind of build it up and make it your own. As far as, you know, the money that you make in that off of that is completely 100% yours. It's not like the rest of the, you know, the NFL, the model is, okay, yes, it's revenue sharing and we all kind of dip into the kitty, so to speak, of the television deals. But anything you do in regards to like Titletown or one of your like Patriot Way, Patriot Place is the same kind of thing. You get to keep all that. That's all for you. So and the Bears have been at the mercy of the city of Chicago for so long. I mean, Soldier Field is famously a horrible, horrible field. I mean, the Bears aren't even in charge of the upkeep. You know, the city is. So I think most modern Bears fans understand that and they get why the Bears want to and will be moving.
Well, that is, that's not our problem because we have have Lambeau.
But this is my thing. This is what I love, though. We have Lambeau, right? And whenever Bears fans want to come after you about this nonsense, about you want to make fun of the stock sale or make fun of, oh, you guys call yourselves owners. And like, yeah, we do. You know why? Because we buy the stock and then the Packers never move. And we never have to hear about an owner threatening to move or raising our taxes. Say, like out in Buffalo. Another town that has to deal with, you know, oh, we're building a new stadium. We're going to absolutely keep you hostage, New York State taxpayers. Like in Green Bay, they literally just say, okay, we're selling stock and anyone who wants to support the team can do so. We're not twisted anybody's arm. No one's being fooled. But, you know, they want to make fun of us and call us little bumpkins or little, this is such a small town. It's like, that's great. But we don't have to deal with all of your NFL owner nonsense. But that's what I love about
it. Shouldn't they at least send you a card once a year? Something.
They do.
Oh, they do?
They do. You get your four tickets to the shareholders meeting and you get instructions on how to put your vote in, the proxy vote for whatever changes are going on with the board. They send you a little communication there for you. A little something, something.
How many times?
I always keep the tickets. Yeah, I always keep the tickets.
How many times have you bought stock?
Just the once, just one time. I've got the certificate on my wall. As you know, my sister and I both bought them when they were available in 2010. So
you didn't buy any for your girls?
I didn't get it. No, I mean, my kids. Let me tell you something. I've tried and failed, just the worst as far as trying to get them interested in anything having to do. Let alone the Packers, just football in general, they could care less. They do not care about the Green Bay Packers. I think it's kind of understandable. I think they've rebelled a little bit from the fact that this is my gig, right? This is my job, and I'm so obsessed with it. So that they're very much like, all right, I want nothing to do with that. Although I will say, that as they've gotten older, I'll never forget, like last year when the Packers lost to the 49ers in the playoffs, Olive, my youngest, texted me almost. She was the very first person to text me, actually. And she was like, Dad, I know how upset you must be. I'm so sorry. So at least now, you know, they're at least cognizant of what's going on.
Like
when they were little, they just
around it.
Exactly. When they were little, they just hated the Packers. They were just like, oh, so annoying. I'm like, all right. Relax.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about Cheesehead TV and the 14, 15 years it's been around. This is Packers Pundit Playback with co-founder of Cheesehead TV, Aaron Nagler. We'll be right back.
over by a truck, 'cause the Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck.
She says cheering at the Lambo. This is the year we make it to the big show. Far passes, makes touchdowns, and we will do the Lambo leap in Titletown.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bright. Now, Jane, weren't you involved in the recording of that?
That's me.
That is Jane singing.
Of course it is. That's outstanding.
Long time ago.
Amazing. That's amazing.
Do you remember the lyrics?
Sure. We are Cheeseheads standing at the Lambo. This is the year we make it to the big show. Far passes, makes touchdowns, and we will do the Lambo leap in Titletown. Move with us. Chant with us. And you will be a Packer fan just like us. Brett and a Brooks and an Edgar and a Reggie. Jackson and Tamir and a Holmgren and a Jackie. Jones and a Leroy and a somebody and a B.A. Packerina.
That's incredible.
Jane Mettner, everyone. That is incredible. Well, we are here right now with co-founder of Cheesehead TV, Aaron Nagler, kicking off our first ever segment of Packers Pundit Playback. So Cheesehead TV has been around 2006, 2007?
2007 when we started, yeah.
That
is a long time.
That is a long time. So this is your 15-year anniversary?
15, 16, something like that. I don't know. I can't do math. But yeah, it's been a while. We've been doing this for a bit now.
So it started as a blog.
Yeah, it started as it was back in the day when my co-founder and I met at school in North Carolina, and all we did was argue about the Packers. I mean, that is it. That's all we ever did when we got together. We'd be at parties arguing about the Packers, and people would you shut up? Like, that's all we did. So when we moved to New York, I kept in touch with Corey, and we talked on the phone like once a week, and we continued to argue about the Packers. That's all we did. And I started a blog called Aaron Nagler's Football Report, which like no one read. My dad and maybe two friends, one of which was Corey, read it. And then Corey had the idea. He called me one day and said, we should do a podcast. And I said, what's a podcast? Because this is 2007. No one's doing podcasts. But he said, no. You keep writing your blog. We'll do a podcast together, and we'll make a website, and we'll call it Cheesehead TV. He already had the name. He already knew what he wanted. And so that was the start of it. And I did just start blogging every day about the Packers, and we did a once a week, you know, back then it was just a recording, and we just kind of put it out. And it was right before Twitter happened. So we were already, we jumped on board that right away. It was just right place, right time. Like, we really connected with people across the world. And that's been our tagline since the start, is devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. And our show was called Packer Transplants because it was about people that we knew there were other people out there like us, in the sense of being obsessed with the team, but not living in Wisconsin, not living near the stadium, which is kind of funny now because Corey now literally lives right across the street from Lambeau Field. But at the time,
live in New York.
I still live in New York. I'm in New York as we speak. And yeah, it's that idea that people, the fandom is so kind of rabid all over the world. And the fact that they're going to London this year is awesome because we'll be there. We're going to be talking to lots of international fans. We're really excited about that. But yeah, that idea that we're everywhere, and we knew at that time, all that was online really was just kind of a reprint of whatever was in the paper. And that was it. There was no opinion, no analysis, no film breakdown, whatever. So we were like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do all of this because we knew Packers fans would eat it up, and we knew they loved the team as much as we did. And we got instant like emails from lots of service members at first, like people that were stationed in Iraq or Iran or guys that were out in Japan or Germany or what have you. We got messages all the time when we first started from a lot of service people. And it just kind of built up over time. Like I said, social media happened. Helped spread the word, obviously, and it just kind of took off.
And because now it's like an empire. I mean, how many different pieces of
I don't know about all that.
Well, I'm just, I mean, between
right.
the amount of people
we got
guys,
a lot of
you,
we guys, do a lot
you
of
guys
content,
employ a
right.
lot of people between podcasts and blogs and memes and social media content and stuff. Like, right. You guys put a lot right. out even in the off season, let alone during the season.
Yeah.
So if you've never checked out CheeseheadTV.com and you're a Packers fan, I highly suggest doing that. But that was actually going to be my question, because I am unfortunately not going to London for the game. My parents tried, when they found out that to do the lottery, you have to go. Like, they would be the ones. They couldn't give their tickets to us. And so, but I had suggested at one point that that would be a good honeymoon. But we're not.
There you
we're
go.
Not going.
See?
But I had thought, what an unbelievable experience to tailgate with Packers fans from all over the world.
Oh,
because there's a huge, United Kingdom, like European Packers.
Germany. There's a monster German fan base. It's crazy. I hear from them all the time. And actually, I mean, Brazil, you know, it really is worldwide. And there are two competing, this is no joke, two competing top Japanese fan blogs that cover the Packers. Like, I'm not like, that's everywhere. Packers fans are literally everywhere.
And do you
it's
think
crazy.
That's unique to the Packers?
I think the devotion is, yeah. I think there are fans who are passing fans. They like the colors, what have you, or maybe they like a player for a lot of the other teams. I mean, Dallas obviously is internationally known. I do think there's lots of fans of different NFL teams all across the world, but it's a little different with the Packers. It's certainly more, I guess, connected and or kind of emotionally invested when it comes to the Pack.
And why do you think that is? Like, if you had to theorize on what...
Yeah, I think it's their story, right? Okay. The idea that they are, quote, fan-owned. They're the smallest market, and they've been really good for such a long time. Obviously, wish they'd have more Lombardis in their trophy case. But the idea that, yeah, there's this small town up against every, you know, billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar franchise, and they're winning more often than not. And, of course, star power helps. The fact that they've gone from Favre to Rodgers, those are two of the most recognizable names and faces that the league has put out in the last three decades. You know, the fact that they are associated with Green Bay certainly helps. But, yeah, I think the story really kind of drives it home. And I think that's kind of the David versus Goliath thing that anybody can identify with and kind of, you know, get invested in.
Absolutely. All right. Well, my final question, Aaron Rodgers' hair. Better or worse than last year? Do we like the Peaky Blinders look?
I'm happy he cut it. I love the Peaky Blinders look. I'm so happy he cut it. I hated the long hair. But
I hated the long hair.
I know a long time, I've said this forever on Cheesehead TV, I really don't care what any of the guys do off the field. I don't care about their style choices. All I care about is what they do between the white lines. But man, that hair was driving me nuts. So I'm glad it's gone. I like Peaky Blinders, love that show. I'm all in on that look. Do it.
Perfect. All right. Any last predictions for the Bears game next week? Are you going to be there in person? Can I track you down?
No. I'll be here. I'll be in New York. The only games I'm going to this year are I'll be at the game in London against the Giants, and then I'll be in town for the Monday Nighter against the Rams in December. But otherwise, I'm always going to be here in New York doing our watch parties on our YouTube channel. So it'll be a good time.
All right. Well, anything else? Between find you at Aaron Nagler on Twitter, cheeseheadtv.com. Anything else you want to have people check out?
If you're in the Milwaukee area or Northeast Wisconsin in the next week, too, we're launching our brand new beer that we just came out with called Carry the G, Cheesehead TV's official beer. It's a cream ale. It's really, really delicious. And we're really proud of it. So if you like beer, you'll like Carry the G.
All right, I will go get a pack of that to enjoy on my ride up to the Bears game next week. Hopefully it is a better game than what we saw yesterday. Aaron Nagler, thank you so much for joining us today and kicking off this new segment for us. Hopefully we'll have you back.
Absolutely, would love to. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, have a great day. All right, well, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to have the top of the hour news. And we come back, we have some updates on some headlines we talked about last week. This is As Goes Wisconsin.